Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, I want to welcome you to the show. It's about 11 a.m. Pacific time on October 8th. If you are listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you. I want to let you know that I am over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that I am live streaming this event, so if you'd rather watch than listen, you can do so by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and search for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find me streaming. Any way you slice it, if you're commenting in the chat room, or if you are commenting in my one of my lives, I will see it. I have great tech to be able to keep an eye on everything that's going on in my chats, so I should be able to see you either way. So that's it. So welcome. I hope that you guys have had a great week thus far. I guess it's only Tuesday, but I hope that you're well. I have things to share. Yeah, just making sure I have all my pictures up. Oh, Suzanne said she couldn't hear anything on the 12 radio site. It's been a bit off and on today. Oh my goodness. I think that happened to me last week too. Honestly, I don't know. I don't really have a way to troubleshoot it. But I'm glad you're here, Suzanne. I'm glad you chased me over here. Oh my gosh. I have had stuff, you guys. I have the most dramatic story to tell you. Really. About my kids, but before that, I'm going to tell you about our camping trip. So we took our last camping trip of the season, and this is, we always go to one of two places. Either we go to the place called the Slough that's near my house, that's absolutely phenomenal, one of my favorite places in the world, or we go down by the river in a little different spot that's also one of my favorite places ever. But this spot I really love to camp in the fall because the sunsets are magnificent. And earlier in the year, people are floating the river and they get out at about that spot and it's kind of a pain in the ass. But when you go now, there's practically nobody out there. We just about have the whole place to ourselves. And that makes me happy. And so I wanted to share a couple of sunset photos I took. We're just camped right here on the banks of the river. This is the Teton. And I shared these in the chat room as well, but it's just such a stunning place. And most of this is county owned, but there's the tip of this spot. We call it the island. It's not really an island. But we call it that because it's the, there's water on three sides of it. It's actually private property, but the people who own it just own it. I've tried to buy this property before, in that I've tried to find who owns it and make contact with them, because I want to own this piece of property. I think it's about 6 acres. It's not huge. Maybe it's a little more than that. It's not huge. It is just fully wooded. There's no one's ever going to be able to build a house there or, you know, have any kind of amenities there because it floods in the spring, but also because there is no power or sewer out there, or like maybe you could dig a septic, but with the flood zone, I don't even know if you could do that. But at any rate, so it's just a piece of land. People used to run cows on it, and now it just sits. It's full of deer. We have seen moose in there many, many times. It's got all kinds of birds, an incredible amount of trees. It's very wild. And in fact, we walked in the woods every day while we were there and discovered some tree fall. It's full of cottonwood trees and some pretty serious tree fall with all the storms we've had this year that are blocking some of the roads and the paths now. And like, this land needs some love. But anyway, I've wanted to own this for so many years, and I probably never will, Because honestly, with what prices have done of land where I live now, I can't even imagine what they'd want. I think once upon a time that would have sold for maybe $20,000, and now, well, I don't know. Where it's not developable, maybe not, but I swear to God, someday this will be mine. But in the meantime, they're gracious enough to let us use it. I really appreciate that. It's awesome. So we walk the dogs out in the woods every day. So here's a couple of pictures on the road. That's Scott way down there with a couple of our dogs. When we walk the dogs, he has to take Nellie and Luca because they just pull so hard. And I take the two itty bitties. But Bruno is so excited to be on walks and so excited to be out exploring. He's so dang cute on his leash and his collar. Rico just stays close and I think sometimes would probably be just as happy if you picked him up and gave him a free ride, but they're just so cute. They were so sweet and cute camping. And here's also my sister Kara and Rhonda walking their dogs on the same path a little further down. This is a place that to me is magical year round. In the fall, with all of the leaves changing, it is stunning. But in the winter, we've had years where the snow, we've had not intense snow. And even if we have, sometimes, when it's starting to melt, Scott and I have gone out here to walk, and it's the most magical, mystical fairyland in the winter, or frosty fairyland that you've ever seen. And then, of course, in the summer, it's just green and exploding in the spring. And in the spring, the morels, there's this place is full of morels. Anyway. So this is it. This is my dream, this little piece of land. I just want to have a no, we don't have it. No, we are just lucky enough to get to walk there. I wish we had the lot. Yeah, I do. I wish we owned it so much. Anyway, that's okay. Maybe someday. It's all right. But we had a great time though. We made this a parents only trip, so it was really just the six of us. Because, we take all of our kids camping all summer long, but it's a lot of work. And so it's kind of fun to have a trip where you're mostly just responsible for yourself and you pack so much less food and have so much less to worry about. Not that my kids don't help a lot. They do, and they help, provide food, and it's not they're not just freeloading on me to go camping, but it's still a lot to have that many people. It's a lot of breakfast to cook. It's a lot of cleanup. It's just a lot. So it's kind of fun to have that trip that's just us. But at any rate, it was awesome. So there you go. Someday I'm going to own that lot. Someday. I'm saying it right here and now. Right? Manifest the lot. By God, it will be mine. I'd probably never see Scott again. He would dive into rehabilitating that spot. I always thought if you bought it, you would be wise to just open it up for a community wood gathering day and just let people come and gather some of the dead wood to clear it out a little bit. And, because there's a lot of people around here that still use wood fireplaces, and you could just let them benefit from that, but not too much, because there's a lot of fauna and flora out there that's benefiting from the ecosystem, so you wouldn't want to go crazy. But that's all. Thank you, JR. Should she likes my hoodie. It's a Be Kind hoodie. Isn't that cute? Yeah. My sister Kara bought it for me for Christmas a couple of years ago, and I'll be honest, it's never fit, but now it does. So was always too small. Now I can wear it. So yay. All right. I want to talk a little bit about. So we're going to do Healing Circle today, for Florida and everyone else that's affected by these hurricanes. Lillian, I'm so glad you're here. And any of the rest of you that are in the path of Milton, please, please be safe and careful. I'm sure you're hearing probably more than I am about how scary this hurricane is. And we know that last week, of course, Helene did immeasurable damage. And now we're looking down the barrel of another one. It's hard to imagine. So we're going to do a healing circle today on that front, but I want you guys to know that I love you and I care about you and I want you to be safe. And I hope that you can do that. And if you find yourself needing help and needing resources, please reach out to the 1-2 family and let us help you in any way that we can. Please do that. We sit over here in little landlocked Idaho and, not little, but landlocked Idaho, and we don't have this kind of stuff, you know, and I'm glad we don't, but at the same time, we don't know quite how to help either. And so please let us if we can. Okay. Sherry says she would love to be somewhere without mosquitoes and bugs. Oof. Well, I mean, actually, it's cold enough here now that we don't have any skeeters. Bugs, probably, but no mosquitoes. It's too cold, which is nice. I ran my heater both nights we were there in the motorhome. Yeah. I'm going to jump into the other chat room real quick. I just finished loading the kiln, and Scott just started the kiln, actually. So that makes me so happy. I can't wait. I cannot wait to show you what comes out of this kiln. If it works, you know. If not, you'll never hear a word about it. But I have three dishes, the beginnings of three dishes. And I have two what are called frit stretches that are, well, you don't need the science of it, but basically they'll be, they should be beautiful sun catcher type pieces of glass that I could either make into bowls or drill holes in them and put chains on them and just hang them, or we'll see. Or they'll be a big damn disaster. It could be any of those things. We'll find out. Yeah. So Lillian particularly is in the path of the hurricane. So if you guys would all give her plenty of love. Yeah, she's not. I think you're not direct path right, but you're definitely going to get hit. Am I correct on that? Like, you're gonna have fallout. Yeah. Pamela said, I talked to my friend on the West Coast to accept an invite to a friend's house 90 miles inland, and I'm still worried about her. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's going to be bad. It's going to be super bad. Yeah. Yes. And then add to it, the politics have gotten in the way of the hurricane and rescue efforts, and nothing sacred anymore, guys. Nothing. I don't even know what to say about that. Here's what I will say, though. I told you guys this once before, but Christy and I started a political podcast. We've been requested to do that a lot of times. And so we've started one. You're welcome to go follow it. If you don't want to, that's totally cool, too. But if you're interested and that's something that you want to keep an eye on, it's called Tater Talk, Two Blue Spuds in a Field of Red Potatoes. Because as you know, Idaho is as red as it gets. And if you want to follow that, it's on Spotify. So I'm going to find it for you real quick here. Because a lot of people said they can't find it. And I don't know why, except for that it's new. And sometimes it takes Spotify a while to catch up. So, no. I really should have done this before the show. It's probably fine. I'm going to share a link for you. And then again, you can go follow that if you want to. And if not, that's totally cool too. It's why I try to keep this show as apolitical as possible. We keep True Crime Squad as apolitical as possible. But the truth is, talking politics is one of the things that I do. So, okay, here we go. All right, so I'm going to share a link to our latest episode. And again, if you're interested, great. If you are not, no harm, no foul. It's fine. Believe it or not, I am one of those people that thinks that there's plenty of room under the tent for all of us. And we can all get along, even if we have different political beliefs. I know. Wild. But I gotta tell you what happened at my kid's house. So my kids live in the Boise area, and they all three live together. You know, Mars is going to school. Micah and Matt now are not in school anymore and are working. And, they have this great thing going there that they run a house together and they're having a ball. They have this big friend group of kids that just, 20 somethings that all hang out together. They celebrate their birthdays together. They like they're family away from family, and it's great and I love it. But sometimes you worry about your kids. Well, Mars called me 2 nights ago and said, Mom, there are a billion police cars in front of our house. And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, I something's going on. She's like, there are cops everywhere, and we can hear them on a bullhorn yelling at someone to come out of their house with their hands up. She says, there's a whole bunch of neighbors outside that are kind of standing talking. She's like, do you think it's okay to go out and talk to them? And I was like, well, yeah, probably should and see what's going on. So they walk out there. There are no less than 12 police cars, and that's just what they could see because it turns out there were more around the corner. They had blocked the main road. The house that they were trying to extract somebody from was 2 doors down from my kids, and they were yelling at him on a loudspeaker to come out with your hands up. You're surrounded. We know you're in there. Things like that. And all of these sirens and lights going. There were 3 to 5 drones in the air. Micah said the whole time they stood out there, there was a drone right over their heads. There were helicopters. Like, this was huge. And so they visited with one of their neighbors who's former law enforcement. He's retired. And he said that the neighbor in question is military police, that he and his girlfriend both are. And he couldn't imagine. He said, this is not, to have this kind of a response is like crazy. I've never seen anything like it. He's like, I can't even imagine what he's accused of for this kind of response to be happening. And so they went back in the house and, we're feeling pretty freaked out by all of this going on. And I had told him, I'm surprised they haven't evacuated you. They might evacuate you. And if they do, you need to be ready. So if they tell you to evacuate, you need to have a plan with one of your friends to go to their house, which is fine. They have lots of friends down there. No problem there. But I was like, if you're going to go to bed, please dress in something that you can leave the house in and be ready to grab your dogs and go. They did not evacuate them, which I think is crazy. But I finally went to bed, but the girls stayed on the phone with their dad until well after 2, and it was still going on. Just intermittently, them yelling on the loudspeaker. At one point, they activated a flashbang. Matt was looking out the window at the time, and she said it was so loud and so startling that she hit the floor because she thought there were gunshots. It was terrifying. We talked about self-evacuation, but their entire driveway was blocked by police officers, by cars. And their neighborhood was sealed off, so they felt like they probably couldn't leave. So Mars and Matt decided to get in the same bed, so they got in bed together to try to sleep and kind of listen out the window. And they were pretty freaked out. I was pretty freaked out. Like, what the hell, right? So we figured out, they're good detectives. I'm a good detective. Scott's a good detective. So they did some good detective work, figured out the name of this guy, found him on Facebook, found his criminal record, figured out, everything they could about him. So we pretty much knew who he was, and what a little bit about him. He's actually from here, from Southeast Idaho. But so we get up the next morning. Oh, they stopped yelling over the loudspeaker somewhere between 1:30 and 2, and by 4 they cleared out. Now, these brilliant girls of mine put an iPad in the window and turned it to record and then went to bed. And then when they retrieved it yesterday, they discovered that they actually had picked up a conversation of officers out in front of the house. So I spent the whole evening extracting all of the road noise and pulling the voices out. We heard what they said. It wasn't significant. It didn't mean anything. They were just chatting at that point. But here's what's really crazy, you guys. There is nothing in the news about this. Nothing. He is not in the local jail. He's not in the county surrounding the local jail. There are no charges. There isn't a single thing in the news about this happening. There's like neighborhood chat rooms where people are discussing it, that also experienced this because, this was a huge deal. But there's absolutely no indication about what happened, why it happened, or anything. There's nothing. Nothing. How weird is that? So I checked with friends that work in the federal criminal justice system. He wasn't there. Because around here at least, we don't have any federal jails. And so if people are put in jail, like with a federal charge, the federal government just contracts through our county jails. And so he could have been in the county jail and it wouldn't have showed up on the jail roster because he wasn't, because of the situation. But he wasn't there. No federal. There's three things in my mind that could have happened here. One, they didn't find him. And so there is nothing. But if they didn't find him, why isn't there an APB out? Why isn't there aren't the police saying, hey, we're looking for this guy, But that hasn't happened. Two, he was deceased inside the home. Perhaps he killed himself. The kids said they didn't recall hearing anything that sounded like gunshots, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. And, or three, this was military. And the military has arrested him and taken him into the brig, and we still wouldn't hear anything because they're super hush hush about that kind of stuff. What do you think? Pretty crazy, right? The other thing is that there's one of his cars wasn't there. He has a black pickup, an Audi, and a motorcycle. And the Audi and the pickup were there. No, the motorcycle and the pickup were there, but not the Audi. And then this morning when the kids woke up, the Audi was back home. So was that what his girlfriend drives? Is that her car? Is that why? Crazy. So we're still watching and digging and hoping we can figure something out because I would really like my kids to feel safe. I even considered just encouraging them to just call the police department and just ask, just chat with someone about this because they are feeling unsettled. But I don't know. They don't want to, so I guess they probably won't. But yeah. Pamela said, hope your kids don't get a knock on their door with someone from the government informing them that they saw nothing, right? Like, how do you just have this big of a police presence and police action and not have a single thing about it in the news? Like, I can't believe the news wasn't there covering this. It was enormous. Crazy. Crazy. So, anyway, that happened, right? He had to have done something really bad. Yeah. The one thing that is curious in the conversations that we captured from the police was one of the cops said, and again, this is really blown up audio, that I had to clean all of the street noise out of and stuff. And so you can't definitively say, I think, what you heard, but it sounds like one of the officers said something about doing it Taliban style. Taliban style. Was this guy a domestic terrorist? What? I don't know. I don't know. Now I'm just, my imagination's running wild. So thank goodness no one was hurt that we're aware of. It doesn't appear that law enforcement was hurt, or any of the neighbors, but I'm still just shell shocked and can't even believe this has gone on. So crazy. It's a crazy world, man. Micah tried to make the girls go to bed with a big knife. He said, just make me feel better and just take this with you. And the girls are like, yeah, we're not taking that with us. We sleep with the dogs. Like, no. But A big knife. I mean, I guess it's something. But he was feeling this big brother, energy that he needed to protect his sisters, and I'm quite sure he had his hunting rifle at the ready, but that's just crazy. I was like, shut the dog door, lock the whole house down, don't let the dogs have free rein outside tonight. Just like nothing, right? Yeah. So anyway, if I ever hear more about this, I'll let you know. Right, did the police off him? No idea. No idea. Right, JR. Now I've got JR's mind running wild. Right. I'm surprised he didn't try to make them sleep in his bedroom or something so that they were just all together. I might have done that if I was there. But anyway. So it's like all we can think about and talk about because what the hell? And I'm pretty good at solving mysteries, but there's a lot of this mystery. I is just, well, like my friend from the federal government said, this is probably classified. This is being held very close to the breast. It's probably classified, and we'll probably never know. So, well, we'll see. Maybe some of the other neighbors know more. They don't seem to, but I was hoping that like the retired cop might learn some stuff, but we'll see. So, anyway, that's all. That's all. Wild stuff. It's a crazy world we live in, right? All right. Well, let's get into Luminous, and then we're going to do a healing circle. And then, if we have room, we'll do a few readings as well. So I'm going to put a link in the chat room, but if you subscribe, you've already received Luminous for the week. It came out about 10:30 this morning. And this, of course, is the magazine that I publish with some help from my friends around here. Okay. Just bearing in mind that I wanted to do a healing circle and thinking about the interconnectedness of all of us. And the other day I was at the doctor getting blood drawn, and she was looking at my sleeve, my tattoo, and just asking like what it means. And I was showing her the Flower of Life sacred geometry motif that's around the back of my arm, and she was asking me what that means. And I was trying to explain to her, the idea that the interconnectedness of all of us and how we are the sum of all of us. And just made me think a little bit more about that. Felt like I could have maybe explained it better, maybe not. She was, being polite. But thinking about these hurricanes and the political season and how damaging they all are to our whole country. With all of the vitriol and all of the anger, and then just all of the devastation of going through hurricanes and the immense devastation of hurricanes. And that it's a good time for us to remember that we are interconnected, that we are our brother and sister's keeper, and that it's all of our obligation to make the world a better place in any way that we can. So I used an image of a healing circle in my on the cover this week. I just thought it was fitting. And I called this week's magazine the We're All in This Together edition. Kind of a nod to the Disney Channel, I'm afraid, but it didn't mean to be. My article, I wrote about the web of life, exploring the interconnectedness of all living things. Because again, I found myself in a position where I needed to explain that, and I felt like I did kind of a poor job. You know how you just kind of get taken by surprise by something and then you have no answers? It was kind of like that. So I did want to talk a little bit about that idea, kind of throughout spirituality and time. So I was thinking about the delicate balance of ecosystems and how all creatures play a role. The animals, the insects, the plants, the bacteria, the fungus, I mean, all of it works together to make the dream work, right? The bees have been such a large topic of conversation for a while now because bees are in trouble. We can't keep bees alive here anymore. The last 2 years, our hives died out from mites or other diseases that our local apiary friends who run, like, you know, hundreds of hives are having the same problem we are. So I've given up on bees for now. It's too frustrating and expensive and heartbreaking to lose a hive every year. So, but at any rate, bees do, they pollinate. They make honey. They're one piece of the puzzle, but they're an important one. But everything is an important piece of the puzzle. We see it here in, hey, Kev. We see it here in, like in Yellowstone. Years and years ago, the wolves got overhunted. They got hunted out, essentially. There was just a tiny bit of timber wolves here that were still in the, like, the Yellowstone Grand Teton or Greater Teton ecosystem. And ranchers around here were thrilled, and hunters around here were thrilled because they hate the wolves, because they would get into their livestock sometimes, because the hunters were mad always because the wolves were taking down a elk and moose and deer that they thought they were entitled to. Well, they pretty much overhunted the wolves until they were essentially near extinct in this area. And the biologists, over about a 10-year period, were fighting for a repopulation of the wolves because what was happening? Well, the ecosystem was thrown out of balance. And it affected the park in a lot of interesting ways. First of all, the amount of deer we had exploded because they weren't being hunted as much as they had been, not even close. And so we have way more deer and more elk as well that are then destroying all of the riverbeds. So the rivers and the streams were suffering because they were being overused by the hoofed population, because the wolves weren't there keeping their population in check. And so eventually they brought wolves from Canada and introduced them here, and those wolves bred with the timber wolves, and now we have kind of a hybrid wolf. And it continues to be a fight because the same culprits continue to hate the wolves with a passion and fear the wolves. And yet it brought the elk and the deer population back into check, and then the streams and riverbeds started to flourish again. Very interconnected. And as humans, we screw around with this stuff because we're arrogant and we think we get to, you know, and yet we throw the natural world out of balance constantly with our nonsense. But as we know, everything is interwoven. Indigenous wisdom is seeing the world as a family. Indigenous cultures around the world have celebrated the interconnectedness of life and understand the interconnectedness of life. Many Indigenous people have long held that the beliefs that humans are not separate from the natural world but are an integral part of it. In the Lakota tradition, there's an idea of Matakiyu Owasin, which is definitely said wrong, I apologize, which translates to all of my relations. All of my relations being a reminder that all living beings, people, animals, plants, even rocks, are family. We are one. Science and the Gaia hypothesis is seeing the Earth as a living system. Right? We see the Earth as a living system that is consistently ebbing and flowing, changing, thriving in one place while it is perhaps not thriving in another. But the Gaia hypothesis was proposed by James Lovelock. He was a scientist in the 70s, and his theory suggests that the Earth and its biological systems function as a single self-regulating organism. According to this idea, living and non-living components interact in ways that maintain conditions for life on the planet. Plants and animals exchange gases with the atmosphere, including climate and creating conditions that support life. That's just one example, but at any rate, that concept again reminds us that we are a part of the earth. And I think that's easily shown in the sense that we, when you die, you return to the earth. I think that is shown in the fact that we are literally made up of stardust. What's in your body? What your body's made of, that's what the stars are made of. It's not just the earth that you're a part of, you're a part of the universe. So, as we know, many Eastern philosophies like Buddhism and Hinduism teach again that life is interconnected, bound by a universal energy. Buddhism suggests that nothing exists in isolation, but everything is interconnected and dependent on one another, which we certainly are. In Hinduism, the concept of Brahman speaks to a universal consciousness that permeates everything. So, how do you foster connection in daily life and why? I think it's important to foster interconnectedness because this is how we express empathy. It's how we care for one another. It's how we take care of those amongst us that need more. It is how we recognize our role in conservation. It's how we recognize our role in taking good care of the planet. It is how our children learn to be empathetic towards each other and towards animals. Now, there are plenty of those on this planet that do not have that empathy. There are plenty of corporations that want to poison our water to make more money, right? There are plenty of humans on this planet who don't care at all about others, don't care about the animals, don't care about, well, anything at all besides what they can put in their pocket or what they can gain. Surely not everyone shares that level of empathy or understanding of interconnectedness, but here we are. So, obviously, on a practical level, reducing waste, conserving water, supporting sustainable agriculture, advocating for the protection of wild spaces and wild species are ways to show respect for the web of life. Just practicing gratitude, noticing the beauty of the sunset, the scent of the forest, the bee on the flower, the way the birds sing in the morning. Just connecting yourself to nature, but also recognizing that you are a part of something greater than just you. I'll let you read the rest in your own time, but that's what I was thinking about today, is just the interconnectedness of all of us and the responsibility that we all share to do our best. In Refeminist History, Kelly brings us a brief history of the Philippines and their culture. I love it. I loved what she had to say. So, they recorded an episode highlighting five Filipinas who have been instrumental in independence and cultural history for the Philippines. There are some baddies in the Philippines. It's awesome. So, please read her article. At the very bottom, there's a link so that you can listen to her podcast about it. But I love it. Thank you, Kelly. I love the level of education she's been bringing to her podcast lately. It's so good. And honestly, is this something that you learned in school? Because I sure didn't. I love the education she's giving us about stuff that I've never had the opportunity to learn. Or maybe, well, we have the internet. You always have the opportunity to learn, but never knew that I wanted to or needed to. So thanks for that, Cal. All right. For my tip this week, it's broom time. You've seen the witch's brooms. You see them in the grocery store. You can buy the ones that smell like cinnamon and stuff. Or just, in the Halloween department or whatnot, but what does it mean? So, a witch's broom is called a besom or a besom. You hang it on your front door with the bristles up. The reason you do it is to whisk away negative energy at the door. Do not bring your bullshit in this house. Take off your shoes and walk past the broom. That's correct. Christy's energy release or energy exercise this week is stress release. You're probably gonna need it. Plenty of stuff going on over at True Crime Squad, paranormal. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that's it for Luminous this week. So I hope that you found some gems in there. And I really hope that this fall, while we're celebrating fall and rolling around in this, the beauty of rolling around in, I don't know if that's right. It's kind of a weird thing to say. While we're immersing ourselves in the beauty of fall and also just in this energy of the autumn equinox, that you have some chances to experience the interconnectedness of our world. And not just through 150-mile winds or whatnot. Okay. Well, what I wanted to do was a healing circle today. It's high time. We haven't done one in a while. And I feel like this is a good time to do it. So I want to get a little music going. So let me get that started. Okay, hold on. Talk to me about the volume, you guys. Is that too quiet? Too loud? Does that work? I think that if you're over at 12 Radio, you won't be able to hear the music. For some reason, the only thing you're hearing is my spoken voice through 12 Radio, and I don't know why. I guess I need to work on it. Yeah, Lillian, that's good. All right, we'll go with that. I always like a little meditation music, you know? Besides just the spoken word. So, all righty. Well, let's get into it. Go ahead and get yourself into a comfortable position. You could be sitting or lying down. Let's start really becoming aware of our breath. Deep breaths in. Good breath out. Now, I would like you to envision yourself walking down a forest path. You're walking down this path, and with every step you take, you're getting deeper and deeper into your spirit. In just a few moments, I'm going to be counting backwards from 10 to 1. As I do so, you'll be walking down the path. You'll be getting closer and closer to an opening in the trees where you will find a meadow. And in this meadow, you'll find others gathering there. And when you find those people, we'll be gathering for a healing circle. You'll be a part of that. I will be a part of that. Everyone else listening will be a part of that, and it is here where we'll do our most important work. So, starting now with 10, walking down a forest path, you can see the mottled sun coming in through the canopy. You can hear birds singing. You can smell the smells of the forest. Perhaps the pine, the sap, the decay. Nine. Eight. 7. Again, walking down this path, getting deeper and deeper into your spirit and closer to the meadow where we will meet together. 6. Five. You can feel the pine needles crunching under your feet. You're feeling very peaceful and capable of entering this space. 4. Much closer. 3. Almost there. You can see the opening now. 2. And 1. Step out now into this clearing. You can see others gathering in the center and others stepping off of their own path into the meadow. Walk to the center now. And allow yourself to join us. This is where our most important work will be done. So now is the time to join in a circle, taking each other by the hand, creating this sacred space where we work together for the betterment of all. Specifically, this circle is for the love and support of all of those who have been affected by the hurricane of last week and the hurricane that is incoming. You may choose something more specific. Maybe you're more concerned with a specific community. Maybe you're more concerned with the animals affected. Perhaps you're more concerned for the earth herself. Perhaps you see your job as someone who is asking to pull strength out of this storm, to help it to dissipate before it hits. You decide what your role is. There's no right or wrong answer. In just a moment, I'm going to be asking you to combine your essence with mine and with everyone else here. Some of you may pray. Some of you may send love from your heart. Some of you may practice an energy healing modality, and you'll be doing that. Some of you may chant or sing or speak aloud. There's no wrong answer. Trust yourself. You are all healers in your own right. So at this time, let us begin. Concentrating our essence, our energy together for the betterment of all, in whatever way that you see fit. Take just another minute or two here to finish up. Very good. It's time to return. Go ahead and let go of each other's hands now and break the circle, knowing that you can return here anytime you wish for comfort, for help. This is your space, after all. Say your goodbyes and prepare to return to the path from whence you came. In just a few moments, I'm going to be counting forward from 1 to 5. As I do, I'm going to ask you to walk back on the path from whence you came. When I start at 1, you'll still be very deep in your spirit, as you are now. As you walk along the path, you'll get lighter and lighter. When I reach 5, you'll be wide awake and refreshed. You will remember everything that you experienced here. You'll remember how to get back, and you will take with you the indelible interconnectedness that we share, and the incredible feeling of combining our essences for the greater good. Returning to your path now, starting with 1. Walking down the path. Lighter. 4. Very aware of your breath now. Grounding yourself back into your body. And 5. Wide awake and refreshed. Taking a few deep breaths now. Time to take a drink, to hold on to a dark stone, to just help you to return to your space. Thank you for that. That was good work. That was powerful work. Thank you for being a part of that with me. That was necessary. Absolutely, Lillian. And you're very welcome. Yeah. Sherry said, I'm going to do this again tonight when not at work and by myself. That's a good idea. And, you know, my archive will be up. The videos are always still posted on my YouTube and Facebook. You can go back and use this whenever you want to. It's for you. Yeah. Lillian said, my friend's daughter told her when she was about 5 that we come from the stars. Children know, don't they, though? Yeah. Amazing. Okay. I wanted to hit a couple of readings if I could. I know there was something over in the other chat room I wanted to get to. JR said, should I trust my dentist? She recommended another procedure. Should I do it or wait? Ooh, JR, my gut feeling is it would be okay to wait. I don't think she's not trustworthy, but very aggressive. And I know this has been a huge process for you. I feel like maybe you get a second opinion or you just give yourself a chance to catch your breath before you move forward. I feel like it's fine to do that. Yeah. Lillian said, this might be unethical, but will I be okay? You will be okay, my friend. Yeah. I think you may find yourself being uncomfortable and frightened, but yes, okay. And so long as you have power, you know how to contact me, and you're welcome to do that. Okay? Okay, this is Judith. Judith said, I have a scary story about an animal I'm caring for, Kona, an 11-year-old Chinese crested powder puff. Dear God, so cute. Born July 13th, 2013. She's very sensitive. Last night she was viciously attacked by a large 90-pound mixed breed who lives down the street. Oh my goodness. Oh, Judith, I'm so sorry. The neighbor walking could not control her. This morning after surgery, the vet said I saved Kona's life by quickly picking her up. The two men acted completely useless. I was the only one that had to pull their attack dog off. I hope you can help me with this trauma. I would especially like it if you can tune into what my little friend Kona might need most right now. I'm following the vet med instructions. Oh, Judith, my God. Thank goodness you were there. Poor Kona. And you. Let's feel into her. She is experiencing a lot of the same trauma that you are. The thing she wants most is to just be kept warm. Yeah. Just to be kept warm and to feel safe. And she does feel safe. I feel like she has felt safe at the vet and she has felt safe with you. She won't feel safe walking for a long while. But for you, let's do a little bit of clearing work. I'm going to pull the cords from those people and also from that dog. I'm going to expand your aura and just push out all of the cobwebs I'm seeing here, all of the trauma. And I want to elevate you a little bit, Judith, because you are a hero. You saved Kona's life. And I know you did what you think anybody would have done, but that's not true, because obviously those fools with that dog did nothing. You did it. You jumped in. Because that's who you are. So my message for you here is that you, while you may need to grieve this and let this travel through you, you're a badass and you can handle this. You did handle this. I'm so sorry that happened. I'm angry for you and for Kona, but I'll hold space for both of you that this is going to be okay. Yeah. Jacqueline, will you check in with Wishka again? Still not home? Wishka, she's going to wait till the snow flies? Let me check in with her again. I think she's still in the woods. All right, I'm just asking her to please come home and that you'll open the door and let her in and give her snacks and, celebrate her being home. Okay. All righty. Well, guys, we did what we do. We have talked down to the end of the show. So, I'm going to go. I want to remind you that I'm a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. You can find me over there every day doing healings, readings, animal communication, mediumship, lots of stuff. And I would be more than happy to connect with you and help you out as well. So don't hesitate to come over there and find me. If you ever come over for a reading and I'm not there, just do a callback request. That if you do that, I get a text so that I know that somebody's waiting for me, and I will do everything I can to get into a spot where I can talk to you. If otherwise, you can do a scheduled call, and you just pick a time that works for you. And if it doesn't work for me, I'll let you know and we can renegotiate that. But hopefully it will, and I'll just approve it and we can talk then. So there's lots of ways to connect. Additionally, we have a chat feature. So if you would like to talk to me, but you're nervous to talk on the phone, or you're not in a position where speaking on the phone is in your best interest, you can always use the chat function, and that's just kind of like Instant Messenger through our system. And that works really well for some people as well. I do as many chats as I do phone calls. So that is definitely an option for you as well. So I want to thank you guys for being here. I want to thank you for being a part of my world. I appreciate you. I love you all. Again, we're going to be keeping a close eye on those of you that are going to be experiencing something here, and or who already have. I know that Quelly is also has been deeply affected, listener Quelly, and others. So, you guys, we're here for you. Please, please reach out if you need us. Thanks for being here. This has been yet another production of the Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.